Welcome to another episode of Not Offended Podcast. I am your host, Robert Farmer. If you're new to us, we are the podcast that proves that we can still have conversations with people that we don't agree with on certain topics and not damage relationships, that we can have healthy dialogue on our positions, our stands on topics, and then end the conversation knowing that we are made up of more than just the stuff that we disagree with each other on. If you're new and this is your first episode, go ahead and search. We have a couple different conversations in the queue for Trump versus Biden. Also, we have one discussion on drug addiction. So go ahead and look back on those. Let me know your thoughts. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. And here we go. We dive right into a great episode talking about Colin Kaepernick, athletes and activism and politics. And I speak with my good friend Drew, and we really have a great conversation. So get ready for your ride. And here we go. I am here with my good friend Drew. And welcome to Not Offended Podcast. We are talking about politics and sports and using your platform. So that's the conversation we're going to have. But there's a couple kind of guidelines I like to open up with. One of them is it's okay to disagree. And our point on having this conversation is not to change each other's mind, although my mind might be changed. But that's not the point, is what I'm saying. So that's one of our guidelines. And the other guideline is, although we're going to talk a majority about what we disagree about mostly, at the end, we have to learn, at least I say 3-5, we got to learn some stuff that we do agree with on certain topics, just because I want to prove that we're made up more of than just what we disagree on. So we're more human than just the topic that we disagree on. Okay.
Yep.
So Drew, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Tell us about your family. Tell us about what you do for a living.
Okay. So yeah, I was recently relocated to South Jordan, Utah. Been here since the end of June. We have one daughter. Her name is Audrey. I'm married to my wife, Capri. And I will mention, just because I think it plays an important part in certain aspects of the conversation, that we are a interracial couple, and so my daughter is mixed, but she appears to be mostly white. She has some black features, but overall, if you did not know who her mom was, she appears white. And I work for a John Deere dealer ship here in Utah, and yeah, that's kind of just a little bit of backstory.
Yeah, sure. So the topic that we're going to get into is mostly about using your platform or misusing your platform or whatnot. So and it's mostly, I guess, right now we're going to talk a little bit about Colin Kaepernick.
Yep.
Colin Kaepernick, and just kind of his role in kind of changing, in my opinion, an athlete and their role, and kind of the way we look at whether it's entertainment, NFL, someone's position when they're giving a certain platform. And he kind of changed, in my opinion, he kind of changed the whole entire landscape of of what people kind of look at and view and expect from people inside their quote unquote roles.
And I think kind of just that in itself, whether, you know, we agree or disagree on certain aspects of that, that alone is kind of groundbreaking.
Yeah.
in that aspect, you know, it's mainly been athletes are athletes, and that's what it is. But with today's day and age with social media and there being a camera everywhere that you look, it's kind of, it's that line is starting to be blurred right. A little bit.
Okay, so let's just dive right in. What is your thoughts on athletes, whether it's athletes, actors, or whatnot, and them kind of broadcasting, using their platform, I would say hijacking their platform, but that's my part of it, being there, whether it's an activist or their political views, or what is your take on it?
My take kind of is, you know, and growing up a huge sports fan, I played football, grew up watching sports, you know, kind of idolizing John Elway, because that's who my dad really liked, Denver Broncos, all of those guys, and saw them as a role model, the way that, you know, the work ethic and the way they carry themselves in everyday life, them as role models. That's what we wanted, or I wanted to kind of mirror my life and certain aspects, mainly from like an athletic standpoint and everything. But I think with, not until, you know, 2020 do we really see that magnified a lot more, or even before that with Colin Kaepernick specifically. I think being a role model and society, we naturally look up to athletes as role models and somebody that we should kind of look to for like a guiding point, a vantage point on how we should live our life in certain aspects. It's being a role model in those areas is all that it's kind of viewed as. And what Colin Kaepernick has done is, at first it was mainly just athletically. He's a black mixed quarterback. He's had a lot of success in college, and the pros, made it to a Super Bowl, kind of defied all the odds. And then he made a choice to give all of that up on a cause that he believed in, and he recognized in his mind, because he had a voice, a lot of attention was on him. He chose to use that platform of being a star athlete, Super Bowl attending, Pro Bowl quarterback, to protest silently. And because of the way he chose to protest, it got a lot of coverage. And as a back to the point of role models and how that plays into this, it's hard for me to say, okay, we're going to look up to this person as a role model athletically and work ethic and different things that tie into athletics. But when they start having an opinion on things that hit a little bit closer to home, it's almost like, we don't want to hear it, because they're an athlete. That's their zone, that's their category. And I think what, you know, with Colin Kaepernick, him tying his protest into like a race thing, it added a different dynamic to all of that.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing from you is that you're pretty much, I guess if I were to kind of summarize it, is yes, he was a role model as an athlete. And if I just read into it a little bit, him using his platform as a role model and athlete to I guess we want to say politically be an activist for a certain race topic.
Yep.
You, if I were just to ask you, you didn't think that that was an issue, right?
Well, I had a few different feelings on it. I felt that I understood, you know, the perspective of protesting the flag, because that's what our national anthem is, and it has just our flag, the national anthem, has so much meaning behind that just alone by itself. But then I also kind of was trying to look at it from the other standpoint of, man, like, this guy is, whether you agree with him or you don't agree with him, this is genius. Like, you're going to, traditionally, the national anthem is never shown before a game. Something that happens before the telecast starts, and then it started being shown. And because he knew that, and all eyes were on that particular moment, no game was going on, everybody's lined up on the sideline, and then you got this one guy that's kneeling. And I think strategically for his cause that he believed in, he knew what he was doing with kneeling. Mm. And I think... So I tried looking at it from both perspectives and both lenses. But yeah, that's
okay. So I hear what you're saying. You said some things that are pretty like significant. You said that him kneeling during the national anthem and when it represents the flag, that he, you think that he kind of intentionally knew what he was doing. And I think that's kind of interesting because yesterday, this is actually, it's probably going to be released later on. But yesterday was actually Veterans Day. And Veterans Day, it's significant for people who served our country, yeah, and who are currently serving our country. And it's a holiday that where we represent or recognize them for their service and thank them for their service. And the national anthem and our flag is another symbol of our country and those who fight and who've given the ultimate sacrifice for our country.
Right.
And to me, if he kind of knew the significance of him kneeling to that, it was kind of, in my opinion, disrespecting not just the country, but all those who have served the country in that. And what he, in my opinion, so I guess back up to what the actual thing was. From my understanding, you can interrupt me and tell me if I'm wrong, but I believe that the purpose and reason behind Colin Kaepernick's protester was that there was, the police force, in his opinion, or the police in general, were I guess racist, and or there was a lot of black homicides or black shootings from police officers, and I think that that's kind of what sparked his activists or his protesting during the national anthem.
I can't remember if
originally, I forget whose shooting it was.
I think originally, and I could be wrong, I think originally it may have been
Jacob Blake or something.
That, or maybe Trayvon Martin.
Trayvon Martin, yeah. I think it was one of those.
It was right around one of those time frames.
So again, this is what I believe. I could, if Colin Kaepernick, if you reach out to me, if I'm wrong, I'd love to interview you. Anyway, nice little plug. But I think that that's what sparked it, and his way of kind of showing, in his opinion, the injustice of the police system was to protest the national anthem by kneeling, which would be, in my opinion, a disrespect. And what a lot of Americans took as disrespecting the flag, disrespecting America. And I think that I can understand, like, his kind of point of view from it. Like, he was saying, like, how can he stand for a national anthem when there is this injustice going on?
Yeah, and I think just on that, you know, and this is just recently I chose to watch the Colin Kaepernick miniseries on Netflix, which it kind of gave me some insight on what he went through growing up from kind of eighth grade until, you know, he was preparing to go to college. But it's almost like a perfect example of the, you know, the court of public opinion, you know, cause Colin Kaepernick was, even when he was kneeling, you know, he wasn't going to a post-game interview, wasn't really, you know, sticking around to talk about what he was doing much. So he was really leaving everybody to form their own opinion on it. And later on, kind of from what my understanding of is what the reason he was kneeling was he did not feel that the country, that the state of the country that it currently is in was representative of what the national anthem stands for. I think that, and I could be wrong, again, I'm saying that, I believe that he felt that the original meaning and reason for the national anthem, for us standing at attention for the national anthem, was no longer a good representation of where our country currently is as far as race issues and race inequality. And again, I could be wrong in that.
Yeah. So we have this gentleman who's kind of protesting in a way, and I should have looked this up, but I forget exactly how much his salary was.
I think it was a big deal. I think he was like one of the first like $100 million contracts over a course of four or 5 years. Cause it was like a year or two after they had gone to the Super Bowl against the Ravens.
And so, from my understanding as of now, since that time where his contract wasn't, whether renewed or, I don't think he's picked up a contract other than private sponsorships or private like endorsements.
Yeah, he's no longer in
NFL. In the NFL. Yeah. So what he did was he risked his multi-million dollar contract for something that he thought was super important. I mean, I'm not saying it's not important. I'm just, I guess my question, I guess, would be it was the way that he did it. Because, see, let me just make this entirely clear. Like, I'm not against what he did as far as, like, protesting the injustice that was going on as far as the police situation. I don't necessarily, in my opinion, think that it's as bad as he thought it would be. Statistics, I mean, kind of shows that there's equal amount, if not more, I guess if you want to throw it out there, white people who's been murdered by the police at that time than people of color. But that would be a topic for a different day.
Yeah, and I think that's, in all honesty, before being married and having a child that is mixed and being married to a black woman, I probably would agree with you. And I think statistically, I definitely think you're right. Also, part of that could be just because black people in general are the minority.
Yeah, so statistically, right. That also does play a factor. I do understand that there, as far as it being a minority and you know, the statistics when in comparison are kind of similar. Like, if I think the last ones that I've read was like, it was 40% blacks, and then like, yeah, there was like 50 something percent was white. So like, it was the margin is very limited in that, but given that the black population is less than the white population, of course it's kind of skewed a little bit. So I do understand that. I guess another caveat to that kind of topic in itself is that I don't believe that the police in general, because you make a generalized statement, you're including everybody in that. You're like putting the whole, you're including everybody, even the police officers of color. And if you like say there's a race problem with the police, when you're saying something like that, when you're making a statement like that, you're singling out a whole entire group off of the actions of a few, again, a minority. And to me, I'm like, I will be the first one to admit there are horrible police officers. There are racist police officers. There are police officers that should not be police officers. I'm the first one to 100% agree with you, especially with my past and me being on the wrong side of the law for growing up. So I've encountered a lot of not so genuine police officers who probably shouldn't have that as a career. I've witnessed and experienced that. But saying that, I'm not going to generalize like a whole entire. All of police, like there, I've met some genuine police officers. I have family who are police. I know a lot of good friends who are in the, or law enforcement. I, have met so many people who are legit stand up guys in law enforcement to where like when someone says a generalized statement saying about, you know, the police or the whole topic in 2020, let's, you know, abolish the police. To me, I'm like, that's freaking lunatic. Like, that's crazy to think of that.
I think it was a crazy radical idea to completely abolish the, you know, police forces in general. But I think it may have sparked and maybe like hit a pause button within police departments of, okay, maybe we need to look into the way that we're doing things. And I from my perspective, I never genuinely thought that police departments would 100% be abolished and be built back up from zero. But I think it has caused discussion and policies to be put in place to not only help protect whoever the individual is that may be apprehended at the time, but also to protect the police officers as well, to kind of show that they're not, whatever policies they choose to put in place, that they're not, that they are covered. And again, with today's day and age with social media, if we can see it, we can form our opinion on something we can see.
Yeah.
If we don't see it, and I think that's like with all of the, you know, the issues that have come up, the, just insert any black person that has been, you know, killed by a police officer. I'm not going to say wrongfully, just killed by a police officer that has been captured on video. And a lot of times it's not from a body cam. It's from a bystander that chooses to record at that time. And that's what before all the facts have come out, you have individuals that are recording that specific thing, and the court of public opinion is forming their opinion on what they're seeing.
Yeah. It's like, just putting it out there. Being a police officer is like a super tough job where literally your life is on the line. And I'm not like, I don't want to like stick up for them, but it's generally not all bad. I mean, now I will say, like, you know, like just to point out, like, the whole George Floyd thing, when I literally first saw the video of George Floyd, it was before it was like crazy popular. It was like probably the week, the first day or two of the, you know, when George Floyd died. And I saw that the officer was a Derek, whatever his name is, kneeling on him. I'm like, dude, that's not right. I'm like, dude, this guy needs, like, he, why is he on his neck? And I'm like, I was like, man, that's not right. That's not how he should have let him up, you know.
He's already in cuffs. Yeah.
So, I mean, immediately I knew, I'm like, man, that shouldn't have, I'm not saying that, I'm not justifying, like, you know, the guy should have gotten murdered, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, but I'm saying, like, when I saw that, my heart wrenched. Whether George Floyd deserved to be in cuffs or not is irrelevant. His life didn't need to be ended. It was a lack of protocol. It was a lack of caring on a individual, whether he's black or white or whatever his skin color was. I saw the wrong in that, in my opinion. I see that there's wrong out there all the time. But I also see the majority is actually good.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, that's something that isn't highlighted enough. Occasionally you'll see a story about a white police officer that is patrolling an inner city area, and he'll stop and he'll go and shoot hoops with the kids and, you know, shoot some baskets, and occasionally that's caught on camera, but that's not, again, that's, those aren't the, there may be someone there that has an opportunity to record that, but unfortunately, because of the way society is, that's not what is going to be put out there and go viral.
Right. Yeah. It's not what people are interested in. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Unfortunate. It's unfortunate. And to me, like, the most unfortunate thing about this is, like, before I even say this statement, like, I am in an interracial relationship. My wife is Hispanic and I'm white. I have some Hispanic origins. But anyway, if you look at me, my color of skin is white, which is unfortunate because I'm Native American and Hispanic. Anyway, I say, it's unfortunate that race is an issue and a highlight. I say that because what's popular isn't what's the norm. It's generally, you know, if it's like clickbait, you know, if you, the other officers, I mean, you know, with George Floyd and just as an example, there was an Asian officer. There's another. There was a black officer there, Then there's. I think it was like probably. I think it was not just Derek Chauvin, whatever his name is.
I think there's like a total of three other officers.
Right. Maybe. So, and they were all, and that was, it was a pretty diverse mix.
Yeah.
But the guy kneeling on him was white. Anyway, I think it's very unfortunate. It's super unfortunate. I'm not, like, again, you know, giving anybody like the say. I believe that. If it was, I don't know, I guess, let me flip the script and say, like, what if it was a white guy? It would, it get so much press? Would have 2020, I'm just, like, I'm just being devil's advocate here because I'm not trying to write anything that's not right. Anyway, but I'm just saying, like, let's look at it from an outside perspective and flip the script. And what if it was a white man? Would it have blown up the way it did? And would there have been mass rioting? Would there have been, I'm just asking the question. Do you think that it would have gotten the same reaction as it did?
You know, that's a good question. And, it's a very good question. I don't know. I think, to that, I will say, you know, with the the situation that happened at the Capitol, I think there was one, maybe two people that ended up dying during all of that. And
I think there's there may have been like two or three. One of them was a black guy who was a retired police chief or something.
Oh, yes. I think he got trampled or.
Yeah. No, he got shot. Oh, like he worked at a TV store. Anyway, go.
Anyways, I remember texting my wife who was black, and as a white man, kind of understanding the way things are, I remember texting her just be like, man, I hope whoever was that shot this person was not black. And because it's everything that, it's almost as if everything that the black community is protesting against in the whole summer of 2020 would have been just the other point would have been justified from like it would have been, see, they really are thugs, quote unquote, they really are unruly. And and that's something that before dating my wife and before being married to her, I never would have given any thought to that aspect of it, trying to see that perspective, even though she grew up in a pretty affluential, you know, middle to middle upper class area. Her parents put her in the best schools. So she didn't really see the same that some of the other more inner city or lower income black families saw what their experience was. But just being married to a black woman, trying to empathize with that aspect of it. And I think kind of going back to the Colin Kaepernick and sports figures having a platform of using their platform to speak on topics of anything other than sports. There's the famous shut up and dribble that I can't remember where the senator or congresswoman was that had a statement against, you know, the basketball players that were protesting with t-shirts and speaking about things, and they were canceling games and everything. It's because in the NBA and the NFL, the majority of the athletes are now black, which is just kind of ironic. You know, I remember watching the movie Glory Road, I think was the movie with Texas Western. They were the first school to start five black men in a college basketball game. And they, I remember there's a line in that movie said, what if this was the future of basketball? They were playing Kentucky, which was predominant. They had Jerry West on that team. Great team. I think they'd won a whole bunch of championships back to back. And now it's completely flipped. Yeah. And when we're looking up to our favorite sports teams, we love Lamar Jackson. We love Patrick Mahomes, who is a mixed quarterback. We love Deshaun Watson for what he can do on the football field. But then as soon as they start giving their opinion on something other than what they can do on the field, it's almost like, we don't want to hear about that.
See, I understand what you're saying. Where I would kind of like, I guess disagree. I would say like, I'm not, it's not that no, just shut up and dribble, kind of like what you're saying. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there could have been a more, tactful way to protest, or a different approach that I would have done, just and maybe, I mean, just maybe, which I guess is horrible, but maybe he wouldn't have lost his job or contract or whatever. Maybe, you know, if just for example, I guess this isn't, I mean, for example, that you maybe have, you know, had fundraisers or getting endorsements or whatever. Like if he had an endorsement, you know, about the whole, you know, the police and all that stuff, and he did that on the endorsement's time. Does that make sense? Like, let's say a Coca-Cola commercial, you know, and in during the Coca-Cola commercial, he's a, oh, there's an epidemic or whatever. There's the state of America, you know, with police. I don't know. I'm just putting out there.
See, and I think that
maybe that would have been a more beneficial or more acceptable way of using his time. I don't know.
I can see that perspective. You know, I could see you're in season. We're tuning in because we want to watch you play your sport.
Yeah.
A couple of thoughts going through my mind on this part of it. But unless it was a Super Bowl ad, which is millions upon millions of dollars for a 45-second commercial, how much of an audience is going to be reached? Even LeBron has a production company, I think it's called Undisputed, is a production company that he's created, and has a series on HBO. Not everybody has access to HBO. You have to pay for HBO.
Yeah.
And so even with that, I think that because they knew that the majority of the eyes were going to be on them in those times, that's why they chose to do it in that way at that time.
Yeah. But like, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, in that time, what I think was received was that he was trying to hijack the sport or the NFL or whatnot. He was trying to hijack that time to do his, I guess you want to say, his personal agenda, right? And so in my, like, what I was saying is like, yeah, I mean, you're completely right. He may not have gotten as many views, but what he did was he risked his job. He risked, like, his perception and, you know, whatever, whether that's right or wrong or whatnot, you be the judge of that. But he risked that by what, in my opinion, did was hijacked the network, the NFL, and the—I mean, what you did was super risky. What he did was super risky because he didn't just do it in a way of like he wore a shirt that said, "Hey, the police are the enemy." No, what he did was he didn't like pretty much what even what in my opinion, like what he did was he didn't like protest the police. He protests the American flag. He protests the freaking the national anthem, which was like affecting and disrespecting a whole entire different audience from what he was trying to get to. Now, I mean, who knows inside of his head, like where he was trying to go with that. But again, that was the risk that he took that had adverse effects.
Well, and I think, just on that, before I get on to the second point that was coming to my mind was, as I said earlier, he, from what I remember, didn't really talk about it in press conferences. It was if it did anything, it was sparking a conversation. It was getting a conversation going. And to be honest, unless you were at a game, like in person, in a stadium, at a game, the American public doesn't care about the national anthem. Like in at a sporting event, it's almost like, okay, this is kind of, you know, this is traditional, you know, whether it's a baseball game, football game, hockey game, wherever you are, this, it's just what happens. And then all of a sudden, because Colin Kaepernick was kneeling, they started televising it. They started showing it on TV. But also, like, to get to my second point, at the time, I think, obviously, you know, Tom Brady is still playing and was playing during that time. Aaron Rodgers was playing. Philip Rivers, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, probably a few of, like, the big name, like, anchors of the NFL as far as quarterbacks are concerned. It was okay. Like, no one was criticizing them for not having an opinion one way or another. You know, they reporters weren't asking the question. They were kind of just staying away from it. But you can, I can promise you that, you know, Deshaun Watson was probably getting asked about it. The black quarterbacks were probably being asked about their opinions on it. And I think you can look at the adverse stance. Yes, he was risking his whole career for something he believed in. He was throwing away millions, endorsement deals, his NFL contract. That's what was at risk. But he was willing to take that risk.
Yeah.
Versus, as far as, like, different topic for a different day, but, you know, Aaron Rodgers is in the news for his being very his vague in his vaccination status. Like,
yeah,
even with that, he was strategically giving an answer on what he did as far as that was concerned. So Tom Brady's not willing to take the same risk as Colin Kaepernick did, because there's a lot more to lose for Tom Brady than there is for Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah. And I see, like, how I guess I'm not really dogging him on taking the risk and, like, being willing to put his career on the line. See, I'm not dogging him for that. Like, in my personal opinion, I think that he was unwise in how he did it. There's a thing, it's called tact. And to be able to tactfully execute an agenda, in my opinion, would be to, you know, do it with finesse, do it with ease, with the best outcome. I think that he didn't really think things through on what the outcome or repercussions would have been. Because otherwise, I honestly, personally, I think that there could have been a way that he could have protested the police or whatever he wanted without disrespecting the whole entire group of people that he did, whether it's veterans or people who served or the national anthem in the United States. I think that he could have tactfully protested the police's injustice of those minority of the police officers who have been, you know, whether it's racism or whatnot, you know, in their actions. I think that he could have tactfully done it without losing his job and without doing it with disrespect to those people. Anyway, I think that there could have been a way. Now, do I know what that way would have been? No, I don't. I think that whether it's during a press conference, or maybe he had a fundraiser or opened up an organization, or maybe he called it out. You know, I'm telling you that the news anchors, I mean, they would have made the time of day for him if he would have, like, been, hey, I would love to let you know about this cause or blah, blah, blah.
You know, and it's very, don't mean to catch you off.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think I agree. I think he, without having, like, the blurred lines of Because I don't think his intention was to disrespect the armed forces. I think on that aspect, maybe he could have thought that part through a little bit more. Something that another situation that comes to mind is Kyrie Irving and his choice as far as vaccination paired with New York's vaccination policies and requirements. It's a little bit different because in the Kyrie Irving situation, it's affecting the team. You know, it's not just, it's a personal choice of his, but it's affecting the team by him not being able to play. And people are criticizing him because that, you know, Colin Kaepernick did, I guess, in a roundabout way, affected the team because he was a pretty big, as a quarterback, he's a pretty big part of it. But he was also kind of, in my opinion, as a sports fan, he was kind of on the decline in his career. Mm. so I don't know how much it negatively affected his team, but it's just interesting. You know, we criticize one person because it's the way that they're protesting, and then we also criticize another person because it's affecting the whole team.
Yeah. I would almost say that's kind of apples to oranges, only because I think that in Colin Kaepernick's example, he did something that his effect affected the whole entire... okay, so he did something on top of what would be the norm. And I think in the Irving case, like his choices was brought up. And it was like, okay, he doesn't want to get vaccinated or whatever. And I think that was his personal choice. Colin Kaepernick was like choosing to highlight an issue in the topic that wasn't really, I guess, highlighted in the NFL. Does that make sense? Like, I don't know. I think that it wasn't an issue until Colin Kaepernick made an issue. But it would have been an issue no matter what, whether, you know, it would have been vaccinated or not unvaccinated. So yeah. I think it's kind of like a little bit different, but I understand like the effects was both on the team.
And I think, I mean, you know, it's kind of looking at, you know, it's been quite a few years removed from Colin Kaepernick originally kneeling and his original protest. I think, if anything, he has, in kind of like the background, he's worked with the NFL on creating more of I don't know how to say it, but the NFL overall has evolved and expanded their diversified outreach on those issues, on different issues. You know, even they used to have, was it like Breast Cancer Awareness Month? Now it's all things. It's not just breast cancer. It's the NFL has evolved, and it could be coincidence, but in a roundabout way, I believe that it has caused the NFL to take a look at him like, okay, there was something here that we needed to take a look at.
Yeah, I think, this added upon a bunch of other
quote-unquote protests over the NFL, and I think that they've been taking a second look at how they can promote and marginalize the unmarginalized, or whatever you want to call it, like how they're able to focus on those who are or have been kind of neglected and marginalized. I think they've taken a second look at it. It's been a good opportunity for them. I think that the fact is, though, that Colin Kaepernick, he typically, like, he was a martyr for the cause, if you want to call it. And I guess, like, to kind of wrap it up, I don't think that he had to have been a martyr. I think that he could have been a great role model in the pursuit of highlighting a topic and an issue that is relevant and good to kind of focus on, but I think he did it in the wrong way. I think my overall opinion of the matter.
Yeah, and I think just kind of just a final thought to leave everybody with is something that just came to mind is if Muhammad Ali was fighting now, and if Jackie Robinson was happening now, how would their journey be viewed in comparison to, like, as far as being outspoken for their causes and what they were doing and their role in sports and race and equality? How would it be perceived today versus the way it was then?
Yeah. And I mean, I take this with a grain of salt because I look back and I idolize people like Michael Jordan. I mean, all these other people when it comes to sports, like that had a platform and they had their own. I mean, even like Scottie Pippen, where like it wasn't really like a basketball on his, like he kind of promoted stuff on the side that his own personal beliefs on the side. In my opinion, I don't think that he kind of did it in the actual scope of an actual game. It may have been like hijacked off of like what is it when the reporters the post games and such, they may have, you know, went sideways on their, you know, their own kind of opinions on certain matters.
Well, and I think that's a really good point. And I kind of think, you know, Colin Kaepernick, you know, he's a known name, but he's not a Michael Jordan. He's not a Tiger Woods.
Right.
And it's almost as if, how would society react if Michael Jordan would have taken the basketball, you know, in a game 6 or game 7, you know, and just decided, you know, in crunch time, you know, tied ball game, and just decided, you know, I'm going to take off the jersey. I'm done in protest of what is happening in the world.
Right. Yeah.
Right now, I'm done.
Okay. So like there again, I think that would have been, I understand the example. I do. But I think that the significance of it being during the national anthem, I think that, like, I think he screwed up. Like, honestly, I think Colin screwed up in picking that time to do it. I just think that, like, you disrespected way more people than you were standing up for. Oh man, I just said that and it just like rolled off my tongue because, like, honestly, you disrespected everybody who's given their ultimate life. They've given their life up for this country. And the people who have served in the past, you've given up the people who are currently serving. You're disrespecting all of that because of a certain portion of police officers who do stupid and horrible and, I mean, not good things.
Well, and I think that the ironic thing about that is that he did it during a symbolic song of what a lot of our forefathers, the reason that they fought was so that he would be able to have the ability, the freedom to do something like that in that time.
That's super ironic. No, I understand that. But I get the crazy thing, all the people he disrespected or the people who fought and gave their lives or whatever.
For him
to have that freedom. I understand that. And I think that a majority of the people who are like, he's not employed now. Well, kind of serves him right kind of type thing.
Right.
Which is like horrible in a sense. But I mean, he ended up getting a documentary out of it. I don't know. I don't think he's struggling too bad.
Yeah, honestly, I think that's, you know, again, that's another, he's not in the NFL anymore. I mean, who knows? He could, whatever he has going on in his life, who knows? He could be making tenfold what he ever would have made in the NFL now. I mean, we because he's not in the limelight, we would never know.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the whole thing of his protest was when everybody was watching.
Yeah. So we came to a part in our episode where we're changing and shifting. We've already talked about the issue that we've kind of either agreed or disagreed on. But now we're going to try to find, hopefully this is fun, some things that we do agree on. So I call this Nah Bra or Yeah Boy, all right? And generally it's going to be within food, and we just had a Halloween and we're in the Thanksgiving fear. Okay, so when it comes to candy corn, is it Nah Bra or Yeah Boy? Are you for candy corn or are you against it?
You know what? I would say as far as classic candy corn, I'm a Nah Bra. But they've thrown a twist in there. Now they have like some caramel.
Okay.
They got some like different variations. And now I'm kind of, it's making me kind of second guess it a little bit.
That's funny. The original candy corn, I said on a previous episode, I think that back in the 80s, they produced a whole bunch of it and that they're still trying to get rid of it from the 80s. I think that they're still trying to get rid of it. They haven't produced it since the 80s. Anyway. Okay, so here we go. Another food seasonal thing. Peeps. Are you Nah Bra or Yeah Boy?
You know what? I don't know. I would say Nah Bra, but my daughter, she loves them. So I've tried. Again, there's different variations. And some of those, there's like some of them, they're like, okay.
You hear they came out with
a cup of coffee.
Okay, listen. Do you hear they came out with like a cotton candy peep?
See, now that's just, that's wrong.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, to me, it's definitely a Nah Bra. Okay. Now, here we go. I guess we're sticking with food right now. When it comes to chicken, is it fried or grilled?
You know what? It depends on, you know, let's
the best case scenario in both. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
Grilled.
Fried. Dang. I really,
you know what? I only say grilled because I don't like messing with the bone.
Okay.
And again, that's something that I'm trying to, again, being married to a black woman, I'm trying to learn. And
so, okay.
Getting better at it. But out of pure
with chicken, listen, I'm okay, listen, with chicken, when it comes to bone or boneless, I am boneless, only because I'm not digging the whole barbarian, you know, eating with the bone or getting some gristle in my teeth. I'm not cool with that. I'd rather it be like, you know, worry free, carefree, bone free. I guess if we go to Buffalo Wild Wings,
not having to be careful when I'm chewing.
When it comes to like, if I go to Buffalo Wild Wings, here's another one: is it traditional or is it boneless? Because to me, it's boneless.
It's definitely boneless.
Yeah, boneless. Okay, all right. Beer or wine?
It depends on the company that you're keeping.
Uh oh.
Sunday football Sunday, it's beer.
Okay.
If it's bosses, and if it's like dinner with the boss and the boss's boss, then it's probably some wine with the pinky out.
Oh, wow. See, I would still do the beer with the pinky out, but hey, that's just me. Okay. Where are we at? Okay. When it comes to temperature of your house, hot or cold? And I guess like the bottom line would be 70. It'd be like above 70, like 75. Or would it be below, like, 69 or 65?
Well, you know what? Now living in Utah, I'm learning that the eco mode for the thermostat is 72 degrees, which I'm definitely okay with. But at 2 a.m. in the morning, 72 in the house gets a little bit cold. It feels a little bit more like 68.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I'm going to go with cold, because you can always add
blankets. My gosh. Okay, so living in Las Vegas, listen. Everybody who's out there, I don't know where you're listening to this from, but I'm telling you, I would rather pick the cold over the heat any day, because you can always put on a layer, right? Now, when it's hot, there's only so many layers you can take off. Okay, so when it comes to turkey, and Thanksgiving is coming up soon, is it fried, smoked,
or baked?
Yeah. In your family, which one do you choose? What do you choose?
Well, you know what? I can honestly very proudly say that we have not been responsible for preparing the turkey for probably since my wife and I have been together. My father-in-law has always taken care of it. I've had both. I've had smoked, and I've had fried, and I have probably over the last 10 years, I have not had baked turkey, and now I look at those people sideways. It's like, how are you going to eat a turkey from the oven when you can have it fried or smoked?
Okay, so which one is it, fried or smoked?
I'm probably going to say smoked.
Okay, so
smoked is just...
this place.
You inject it. it's just a whole thing. You get the injector thing, and you inject the turkey, which I never knew. I never knew that was a thing, that you could inject a turkey, and then that flavor is just in the bird forever.
Until you eat it, yeah. Okay, so listen, there's this place, not Rollin' Smoke, it's a Roadkill Grill.
Okay, yep,
I've been there. Now, they do these holiday pre-order. They'll smoke the turkey on the day of Thanksgiving for you. And they'll even give you, like, all those fixings if you wanted. Mac and cheese is, like, the best.
I'm just thinking about whoever's cooking that turkey.
So, they're doing it in bulk and putting it out. I think the last time I saw, like, 200 boxes that they prepared. Anyhow, it was the best turkey I feel like I've ever had. I've had a little bit of fried turkey that makes me want more of it.
You know what? And to be honest with you, before like going into having fried turkey, I was thinking of like fried chicken, not really knowing what it was going to be like. But if you do a fried turkey the right way, it's still extremely moist.
Okay,
like
listen,
that crunchy skin.
Okay. I will tell you, there's this guy. I will give a shout out. He's probably not listening. His name's Roggy. Roggy taught me how to bake a freaking turkey to where it's just as moist as if you fry it or if you smoke it. And now, like, I'll just give the key away. It's in a bag and upside down is all I'm going to say. And I, you know, one of these days, we'll have to do this. I mean, we'll have to, I will bake the turkey, which is going to take a couple hours, and you either fry it or smoke it. We'll do one of each, and we'll have to do this one of these days, one of these Thanksgiving. So
I feel like the meals, Thanksgiving Day meal for black people and traditional white people, it's just they're two completely different meals. I feel like we could do a whole 45-minute episode just on the differences of meals.
Okay. All right. Okay, let's find a couple more things that we agree with. Okay, here we go. Soccer or rugby?
Oh, man. I don't really know too much about either of them, but if we're going, I know that soccer or football is the world's most famous sport, which is hard for me to believe. But I don't know. It's just those rugby guys. This is pretty intense.
And I don't understand rugby. Yeah, I'm going rugby because I don't understand rugby. I'm like, they're huddling around and the ball's here, the ball's there. I don't know where the ball is. Yeah. So what I hear also, my wife is really, I think she attended a rugby match in her college days. And so the next, it was like the 777s or something like that.
Yeah.
So the next time that they're in town, I think we're going to go and check it out because I hear the rugby, like, audience and everything is better. It's like tailgating for the NFL or soccer, whatever the best tailgate is, times 10.
Yeah, and I would even throw in their hockey, like traditional ice hockey, or lacrosse.
Okay.
And I don't know, I know a little bit about hockey, but lacrosse, I catch it every now and again on ESPN The U, and that's a pretty cool sport. And someone who, right now I only have a daughter, but hopefully one day I'll have a son. The coolest thing is the best colleges in lacrosse are Ivy League schools.
Yeah.
So if my son can get a scholarship for lacrosse to go to Notre Dame or Duke or Harvard, we're doing pretty good.
So I'm going with, I mean, I'm not too savvy on lacrosse. I've got a couple of buddies that I know that do lacrosse, but I have only experienced like hockey in person, and I love it. And I love hockey in person.
I will say, growing up loving football, I prefer a live hockey game over a live football game
any day.
Yeah. Like, hockey live is so much different than hockey on TV.
But nothing to me compares.
And it doesn't even have to be NHL. It could be the AHL.
Right.
It's just hockey live is an experience.
It's like there's no bad seats in a hockey arena. Anyway, okay, so last thing is like nothing in my opinion compares to an old-fashioned baseball game I mean for me, I grew up going to a Dodgers game, Dodger dog, you know, trying to catch the foul ball. That to me in person is way better than on TV. So, okay, here we go. Lastly, sports that you love in person or on TV better?
Oh, man. I definitely understand where you're coming from as far as baseball live. Like, it's almost like the baseball game itself is not that interesting. but the atmosphere,
the experience,
the hype, of being at a baseball park, it's, you know what, I'm probably gonna go with baseball because it's like baseball has such a tradition. Just like, it's almost like you're going to Disneyland without all of the lines.
Right.
You get You can get a churro if you want a churro, and it's not going to be $15. You may not be able to get a turkey leg, but those turkey legs are overrated.
Oh, yeah, they're overrated. Yeah, they're dry. Anyway. And to me, I'll pay the $10 for the hot dog or, you know, the Cracker Jacks or the peanuts. Oh, man, the peanuts and Cracker Jacks.
Yeah, and you know what? The foul ball is just a cherry on top.
Yeah. All right. Well, Drew, it was a pleasure having this conversation with you. And we'll definitely...
Yeah, it was definitely, it was just kind of a... We were just having a conversation, and it was kind of a... Just... led to us recording an episode, and it was awesome. I appreciate it, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you, and thank you, and I'm glad we're able to still be friends. And you know, I know that you make up more than just your view on a certain topic, and hopefully you gathered that I am more than just what I believe on a certain topic. So, and that's what these conversations are about.
And I think that's, especially with on so many different topics. Our country right now is so divided, you know, I think that's the most important thing. And that's why I love what you're doing to, regardless of what the audience is that you're reaching. That's the biggest thing. And the most important thing is that we have forgotten how to coexist with one another.
Yeah.
With having differing opinions. And I think that's the biggest takeaway from this. And that's why I really enjoy doing this.
Yeah, no problem. So, Drew, we'll definitely have you on another episode. But until then, we'll thank you for coming on and having a conversation. And
yeah, the next episode is going to be fresh cranberry sauce or canned cranberry sauce. Oh. That's going to be the...
I'll end that dispute right now. All right. Well, everybody, you guys have a thank you for listening, and we'll enjoy the next episode.